Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello and welcome to this impromptu live stream. It is a live stream, isn't it?
It is. We are live on every platform, including YouTube.
I was really hoping that this was pre-recorded and it's not actually 7:38 on a Sunday evening.
Yeah, no, the way we do these chats normally is that they are pre-recorded, as you are obviously aware. It's just we've been really busy this weekend.
Incredibly busy.
So Lotusethus has been expanding.
Yes.
You probably won't be able to tell. If we've done everything right, you won't be able to tell. We are in a much bigger room, in a much more magnificent office.
I could tell because Samson is much He's further away.
Miles away. Basically, we as and the crew have all been slaving away all weekend, making things happen. So in the future, some incredible stuff happens, and we obviously got everything set up again in a slightly different location.
Somehow.
Room.
Somehow we did this.
And it's not me and Dan. Collectively, these guys did all the work. Well, we helped, but like...
Oh, I bought pizza. I did something.
But we spent all yesterday lugging stuff, which we is did. Why we look like death.
Yes.
It's the reason we look tired and red-faced. It's all been a massive labor of love this weekend. And the reason we're doing a live stream now is to make sure that everything works for Bo tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I've got the chat up, so I'm scanning to see if stuff is working.
Yes.
Nobody's complaining too bad at the moment.
Wonderful. Someone in the chat says, I can't tell. Perfect. That's what Good. We wanted. Right. We didn't want you to be able to know, but we're really proud of the amount of work we've done, so we wanted to tell you, right?
We do something with the cameras at some point to make it obvious.
Yeah.
Better.
You'll see in the future, because we just had to get the... we're still in Swindon. We just had to get the studio set up as close to as it was before so that we can carry on making content next week. Mm. We had to make it done for Bo tomorrow. That's why we're not wearing shirts, basically, and why we look so beat. But it went surprisingly smoothly. Everything seems great. We're very, very happy. And so if you want to see what's going to come next, go sign up to lotusethus.com, because, guys, you're not going to believe how many studios we're building. You're not going to believe it. You are literally not going to believe. You're like, that's new. That's new. That's new. Oh, that one as well is new. So
the studio immediately next to this one, when they see what I'm going to do with that, that is going to be absolutely epic.
Anyone who watched the election stream,
yes, they will know what they will know. Will they have a hint what's coming?
We have expanded, and it's all thanks to you guys. By the way, it's all thanks to you guys. The fact that you guys like and support and subscribe, and make sure that we can keep doing this. Well, we industriously work along, and we save our money, and we upgrade, and that's been the point. And now we're in a space that we're going to be able to do incredible things with. So it's coming.
Truly.
But for now, I thought what we would do is talk about the events of the weekend, because interesting things are happening.
I've been working so hard this weekend, I have no idea what's happened at all.
Somehow I haven't been working hard enough that I have been able to pay attention.
Right, well, you're the boss, that's fair enough.
Yeah, but now I'm feeling guilty. But anyway, so very interesting things have been happening, because the tensions are rising, right? We are seeing events that we just don't tend to see in Britain,
right?
Especially on the right. And in fact, we're basically going to be talking exclusively about what's happening on the right here.
Okay.
But there was a protest, what was it, September the 5th? So what's the date today? It is the 6th. So yesterday, there was a very, very large and very well-organized protest at Dover. Let's watch a bit.
Oh, they're ascending forward. They're ascending forward.
So, Samson, just so you know, we're not getting any sound.
They're ascending forward, people. Where they're going, I don't know. They just walked straight past them.
Answer no.
So where they're going, I haven't got a clue, to be honest with you.
That's okay. We don't need to necessarily watch anything today. We can soldier on.
I mean, a couple of very quick observations from this.
Are they left OPSEC or right wing?
No, it's the OPSEC that gets me. It's like normally right wing protests, you go to them and people are skipping around filming themselves with their face out.
Yeah.
Yep. None of that going on. It wouldn't even surprise me if they've ditched the phones before they turned up. When the right has got to the point where it's like, okay, well, and I said this at the time for the Belfast protests, I made a big point about the level of difference in the OPSEC. It looks like these guys are stumbling towards something, which is, I mean, this is not please fix democracy. This is, no, democracy offers us nothing.
Yes, this is a very unusual. So this is why I said, is this the left or the right? Because normally this is what the left would look like.
Yep.
This is what Antifa Black Bloc looked like in 2016, 2017. No, now this is the British right. This is an organised right-wing group who went down to Dover, the docks at Dover, to blockade them. And the main complaint was, oh, well, people are trying to go on their holidays. It's like, well, I'm sorry that people are trying to go on their holidays, but the country is being invaded, and the government... Yes. Does nothing about it other than make you pay for the invaders. So, you know what? I'm not very sympathetic. We're just going to try this again and see if we can hear it.
They're ascending forward,
we
people.
Where they go? Anyway, right. So, no big deal. Right. So, this was very interesting, right? Again, I'll play this with the sound. The chat can hear it, apparently. But
okay, can they?
As you can see, this is very large. Right.
Yeah.
This is hundreds of young men.
And I'm seeing coordination as well.
Exactly. Dressed up in black, well organized. As you say, they probably don't have their phones on them, right?
Since when does the right do coordination and OPSEC?
Right. That's what everyone's thinking.
Something's happening here.
Yes. There are many tensions that are rising here.
Yeah.
And look at the size of it, though. Look at the size. That is hundreds of young men who are organizing. I mean, that is a scary thing for the powers that be. Good. This is the thing they didn't want to happen. And what's really interesting...
Well, such a shame that they did everything in their power to make it happen.
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh. But yeah, what's really interesting, right, is that this was coordinated like almost like a Roman legion, right? Mm. So... The Romans used to have front ranks and rear ranks, and these ranks would rotate in the battle. So as the front ranks got worn down and tired out, the rear ranks would take their place. That's exactly what these guys did, right? So I think there were around 600 of them there, and they had a reserve that the front rank went out in like 3 hours, stood and blocked this thing. They're getting exhausted after 3 hours of standing there. They need to go to the toilet and they need a drink. And so they literally swapped over. So they managed to block this for 6 straight hours. Right? That's commitment. That is dedication. Yeah. That is planning. And it's like, okay, that's very interesting. Very, very interesting. Hmm. And it's not that I'm endorsing or anything like that. But all I'm saying is this is unusual.
Yeah.
Right? This is not how the British right operates normally.
And I mean... Behind the scenes, I haven't heard anything about this.
Right.
Nobody that I know is involved. Well, if they are, they haven't told me.
Yeah. And sorry, what are you saying, Samson?
Oh, I can hear it now.
Yes, but it's a copyright song, so I'm not going to listen to it. But as you can see, they turned up in vans and whatnot, in buses, and they went down marching. Now, as you can see, it was a protest.
Yeah.
The blood is on your hands. And this is paint, obviously. Very, very similar to what the left does, right?
Yeah.
But also, there was no violence. So no
disciplined.
One, yeah, exactly, right? No one was arrested for this. This BBC reporter, Simon Jones, says, Kent police say there were no arrests at the anti-immigration protest that caused chaos in the town. That's, again, very interesting.
Well, again, the police tactics these days are basically... I've been to a few protests, and I know what they do. They just send a guy out with a camera and a stick who goes around filming everybody.
Oh, yeah.
And but then they come and pick you up later. But how are they going to do that now?
Well, exactly. But also, these are clearly going to be working-class lads.
Mm.
They're going to be probably connected in some way to Tommy Robinson.
Mm.
And so the police... taking a light hand with them and not provoking them.
I don't know why somebody in the chat is saying Portsmouth right now. Is more going on? I don't know.
We will have a look in a second.
We'll get
someone in the back to have a look. But anyway, we'll carry on with this for now, just to get this out of the way. So anyway, yeah, so no arrests, but hundreds of... So 600 young, white, working-class Englishmen turn up. This should have been billy clubs. They turn up and block Dover Port. This should have been billy clubs from the police.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It wasn't anything from their side. It wasn't anything from the police side. And they were like, oh, right, we were not prepared for this at all.
No.
Right? This caught them completely by surprise.
Yeah.
They did not know this was going to happen. So not only were these guys, as you say, really observing their OPSEC, they don't know who they were. They don't know where they've come from. They didn't know they were coming, and they completely got the drop on them. Right, blocked, no, Doverport blocked. Okay, well, how long are they going to hang out for? Well, twice as long as you thought, actually, because we have planned a strategy on how to do this.
So I heard something about this on Friday before we ended up so busy that I didn't follow anything.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been going on, was it what, going on today as well?
No, I think it was just on Saturday.
Okay.
But like I said, I haven't actually had that much time to research it, it may have done, and I just wasn't aware. And so it turns out there was a chap called Danny Tomo. Now, I think I've met Danny Tomo once at one of the United Kingdom rallies. He's a good friend of Tommy Robinson's. And I have been aware that he's been planning something, because I've seen his social media post where it's like, look, young men of Britain have to get together and do something about this. And everyone's like, Danny, that sounds like Fed talk. Mm. You know, what, you know, don't know what you've got planned, mate. You know, I mean, I've never spoken to him outside of like saying hi, but, you know, shame.
I mean, the fundamental rule is if you're on the left, you're allowed to do all of this stuff.
Exactly.
As much as you like, whenever you like. If you're on the right,
you're
like you say,
it's
normally billy clubs straight away.
Normally provocations.
Yes.
Normally drawing you out, causing any small amount of a scene, and then, boom, that's it. You're all getting blackbagged, right? Yep. But the fact that they kept this on such a tight rail meant that the police had no options, and they were just like, well, they're just going to block it for the most of the day. So, honestly, very well organized, very well executed. Mm. And this is generally what they've all been saying. Like, there's just no getting around it. This is what Danny Tomo posted afterwards, is that there were loads of women who were just like, yeah, great. You know, these are our boys who are going down and protesting the rapists that the government ferries across halfway across the channel and then pays to live in our communities, literally putting them in the little village in the shires with their little pamphlet saying, look, please don't rape any of the children. Yep. Like,
we're going to put you in an all expenses paid hotel next to a school, and here's a pamphlet on not raping. Best of luck.
Yeah, you'll fit right in. And so, yeah, no wonder, like, and I've seen a bunch of women posting things like this saying, no, it was great. Like, and I've got a post, in fact, from one of the guys. I didn't find it in time for preparing the stream. But he says, this is a guy called Tensions Rising on Twitter. It says, my honest account today at Dover. I can't tell you much about the planning, obviously, but a lot of hard graft getting hundreds of lads and lasses from across the country together at the same time and place. I didn't notice anyone who looked like a woman in that, by the way. Not that I'm saying there weren't any, but like it was mostly men, which is interesting. I won't lie, the first 15 minutes was a bit chaotic. It was only chaotic for 15 minutes. That's remarkable. Right,
that's not bad.
Yeah, nobody knew what to do, where to go, but after the initial hiccup, we were a professional unit. We blockaded the roundabout to the port, and although the adrenaline was pumping, we were under strict instructions from Danny to keep it peaceful at all costs, and we did. Mm. We held fast for 6 straight hours. Locals brought us bottled water and other treats and cheered us on from the pavement. The police were civil and professional for a change. I'm not going to say it's because of our numbers. They made a lot of people on both sides. There were a lot of people on both sides that wanted this to fail. And that only made us more determined to make it successful. I tip my hat to Danny and his team. He answered every critic, and to those, just don't call him a grifter, blah, 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 blah. So it's like, okay, that's
fair enough.
Interesting. Very interesting. And yeah, so excellent, basically. Really excellently executed. And this is, it was being discussed on Talk TV. And one 70-year-old woman phoned in to have an opinion on it.
True, the majority of them were working boys. And that's why they had to have their masks on. Let's have a look how many of those that go on the left wing actually work, because they have a lot of time to turn up at every demonstration, don't they? We see all those boys as well on the scooters buzzing about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the majority, I bet, are illegal here.
Yep.
Nothing stops them wearing a mask. Why? Because they're working for big corporations like Uber and Just Eat. And I tell you something else. I feel like coming out with them and wearing a bloody mask. And I'm a 70-year-old grandmother.
There's the endorsement you needed.
Yeah.
She recognises, no, these are our boys.
Yeah.
The rest of them are a bunch of foreigners. They're all wearing their masks. They're all not English. Visibly not English. we know where we stand, and you can see this Talk TV guy, what's he going to say? No, you should have felt afraid from all of these English lads actually trying to stop the rapists from getting into the country. No.
Well, normally they just call them a fascist, but well, I suppose when he's a little 70-year-old grandmother, is a bit dry. Samson, we wouldn't mind having it a little bit higher on the TV screens in here, if you've got a second. All right.
Anyway, so Channel 4, of course, characterised it exactly the way you expect. Hundreds of demonstrators dressed in black and wearing balaclavas blocked the streets around Dover today, shouting "Stop the boats!" in what the port of Dover described as a public order incident. The police seemed to be taken by surprise and intimidated residents. Well, I don't know. From what we've heard from the residents so far, they were eventually escorted away, and a far-right group have claimed responsibility for the demonstration. So, okay, but no one got hurt. There was no violence.
Yep.
Nothing was broken.
Yep.
There was no mostly peaceful rioting or anything like this.
The police didn't have to come out and say, "Would you please put your weapons back in the mosque?"
Nothing.
I don't think
these
lads are mosque goers, but
yes, please put your weapons in the church or something like this.
Yeah.
No, nothing of the sort. And of course, that meant that Nigel Farage came out and denounced them instantly.
Oh, of course, yeah, why not?
Right, of course he did.
Somebody's actually doing something about the problems that he says he wants to do something about. They've got to be thrown under the bus instantly.
Instant counter signal.
What's that?
We're talking about Dover today. This being barricaded by hundreds of masked individuals. Yeah. What do you make of that? What's going on?
Disgusting. Nobody in any political protest, whether they're on the left or the right, should appear in balaclavas. It is wrong.
It's sinister and worrying for people there.
It's horrible.
There's families in cars on the way to the M20 to get on holiday, and they see all this happening around them.
Disgusting. Disgusting.
Disgusting. Yeah. You couldn't be more disgusted that you went out and did something that was effective, got the job done, lawful, peaceful, no arrests, nothing.
I mean, I'd be more annoyed, but I know exactly who Farage is these days. So.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't come out and say that about the Muslims when they were...
No, of course not. He needs their vote, because they're going to be the majority by 2050.
We can't alienate Islam.
Yeah, we can't alienate Islam.
Exactly. I mean, this one.
No need for that. We're on the same side, bro.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are, bro.
Bro.
Love it. But he didn't say... I mean, that's just so funny. We're on the same side, bro. No, we're not. Listen to them when they tell you this. But Farage didn't come out and denounce this.
Yeah, no,
he didn't say, "Oh, the Muslims shouldn't have done this." But as soon as the far right do it, right, oh yeah, and no one should do it, but especially not those guys.
Yes.
It's like, why? Because they're natives. That's why. It's just absolutely...
Different rules of the natives.
Oh, it's insufferable, right? He didn't do it when the lefties were intimidating the Standing for Women, Posy Parker's event. I mean, he didn't come out and say anything about that. But for some reason...
Yep.
When the Muslims are doing it fine, when the Antifa types are doing it fine, he doesn't. Yep. He just sleeps. The second a right winger comes out and goes, "Okay, well, this is what everyone does, so this is what we're going to do." Nigel Farage, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. It's like, what's it got to do with you?
Well, I've mentioned a whole bunch of times. I had dinner with him 20 years ago, and I thought it was going to be an interesting conversation. And all he wanted to talk about was stopping a British Mussolini. So that's all he ever thinks
that's
about.
That's the thing I'm so worried about.
Yeah,
these days.
How can I stop nationalism in Britain is the only thing that he thinks about. It's the only thing he's ever thought about.
But of all the things to worry about as well, I just don't think a British Mussolini is on the horizon.
We haven't got the fashion sense for it.
We haven't got the organisation for it.
Well,
anyway, so yes, moving on. Guess who didn't denounce the lads?
Was it Rupert?
It was. You're going to be shocked to hear.
Good morning, everybody. Thankfully, this hot summer is coming to an end, as it did in 1976, and life is more bearable as we see temperatures return somewhat closer to the normal. I felt compelled to do a little clip this morning because I want to support those people who came out and protested in Dover yesterday. We've been speaking as a party about the crisis which is engulfing Britain with regard to illegal immigration, which is happening on a scale that is actually damaging the interests of the British people beyond anything that one could have even forecast 4 or 5 years ago. To allow illegal migrants to come in to fund...
It's a bit of a longer video than I was expecting to play. But the point is, first thing he says is, I'd like to come out and support those people who came out and made a peaceful and disciplined protest.
Okay.
Why? Because they're right-wingers and they're doing the right thing. Like, there's a concrete issue that, in Rupert Lowe's case, he's never wavered on.
Mm.
In Farage's case, he's been all over the shop on. So, you know, no wonder Farage isn't your friend. But what does this indicate? Right. What this indicates is a general hardening of politics. I mean, you can see it. I'll pause that because I didn't realise that was a thing. But this is something the British right across Europe is adopting from the left. I mean, in I think it was
to the right. A long time to learn this.
It did. It took them a hell of a long time. It was in 2017 to 2018. There was the largest black bloc in history that happened in Germany, mm-hmm. where something like 10,000 Antifa marched through. Was it Düsseldorf? I can't remember where it was now. But it was genuinely eye opening. It was like, oh my god, and this is just happening now everywhere, but on the right. Right. And so what we're witnessing, I think, is a general hardening of politics, not just in Britain, but across Europe. Now, I'm going to pay attention to Britain because I think, it's just where I live, and so I know the most about it. But this concurred, there was concurrently alongside this, was the Reform Party Conference in Birmingham.
Before you come to that, I've got an answer of what's going on in Portsmouth. So apparently loads of migrant boats have been turning up in Portsmouth, Hampshire.
Do us a favour, get them up. I'll get them up now, screw it.
While we're on the protest. But I'm just seeing loads of boats, loads of RLNI, the lifeboats turning up.
Yeah.
And presumably it's the same group of people who have been turning up in Portsmouth, and they're blocking them from getting onto the coaches so that they can be dispersed to nice little English villages.
Oh, really?
I mean, I quite like Portsmouth, so I don't really want them there either. I mean, they need to be put back on the boats and turned around.
I don't want them in the country at all. Here we go.
Boats loaded with anywhere between 100 and 300 illegal migrants have been seen arriving in port in Portsmouth, Hampshire.
Okay, let's have a watch.
Oh, right.
So yeah, this is them. Yeah, right. So this is exactly the point that everyone's like the RLNRI or whatever it's called, like the migrant taxi service.
Yeah.
Right. When they get halfway out across the English Channel, which is only like a mile, then we pick them up and ferry them back. And it's insufferable.
It's such a shame because that as an organisation used to be such an honourable organisation because they existed to help British people who were out on a boat in the English Channel and got into difficulties, and now they are literally just a migrant taxi service.
And that's Danny Tomo there.
Okay.
And so I guess what he's done is he's taken his lads.
He scrambled them to Portsmouth.
I'm guessing so. Yeah, but live about to block incoming legal and migrants.
Yeah, there you go. And you can see the coaches behind them. So they're trying to land them. They've lined up coaches to put them on.
And like these guys have actually done this already in Dover and are going to do it now in Portsmouth. And Nigel Farage is just like that, not allowed.
I mean, it's insane that anyone needs to do. Why is the government laying on coaches and taxi boats? I mean, good on these guys, and well done this Danny Tomo chat, but insane that our government is just, like, laying this on.
Yes. And there we go.
Oh, Jesus.
Just literally, these... it's all men. Obviously, it's all men. It's just all men. It's like, no, look. Right.
All of them represent a serious potential danger.
Yes. These are invaders. We ought to be meeting them with armed force.
Yeah.
At the border. And this is what we would have done in any other era.
Oh, yes.
Any other era. And especially, like, men from, like, the third world. We'd be like, what the hell is this? Anyway, so, conversely, as you can see, the Reform Party conference in Britain, in Birmingham, while all of this is going on, and Nigel Farage is busy denouncing it, well, he apparently is scenes from Nazi Germany, mate. Singing God Save the King for anyone.
Okay. It's a bit boomer cringe, but it's not exactly.
Well, it's the national anthem, isn't it? Samsung.
I was talking more about the audience, to be honest, but
the AC has turned itself off. Can you turn it back on, please? I don't know if it's on the timer or something. But anyway, so this is just them singing the national anthem. And of course, retard Spurg leftists are like, oh, look at this. It's very frightening. It's a mirror image of Germany in the 1930s. Yeah, it's just Nazis.
Did they sing the God Save the King in not very often. Germany?
Okay. Occasionally the Horst Wessel song, but not not usually God Save.
This song's quite catchy, to be honest.
Well, I think it's also quite traditional.
Yes.
Like, it's not normal.
Hmm.
But there were some protesters in the Reform Birmingham conference.
Oh, and
This went down really badly. So it was from a group called Climate Resistance. Because, of course, Nigel Farage isn't an insane person when it comes to climate, at least.
Yeah.
This happened.
This is what the local...
The boomers handled them pretty roughly, right? Well, it's not the only one. Here's another one.
That poor young girl, she looked like she was going to do herself an injury, didn't she? Well, there's a saying I've got for that. You know what it is, don't you? Boring, boring, boring.
No, that's kind of missed the temperature now. I'm assuming you didn't actually see what happened. Because, I mean,
I saw hair grabbing, and did I see a stick coming in?
Yes, you did. There was some woman pulling hair. And there was an old chap with his stick. There we go. Blocking her with his walking stick. And it's just like, Jesus Christ, man.
So we know that Reform UK is not a brown shirt 1930s party.
But do the boomers know it?
Has anyone told the boomer waffin in the audience? Because we're in this bizarre situation where both the left and the boomer waffin in the audience think that this is a completely different party to the party that it actually is.
Nigel Farage, we are singing God Save the King, aren't we? but this...
Not the one about the flower.
This image is just, this is just 40 o'clock. In fact, I think there's another one. There we go. There's another one. So it's a different boomer.
That's not AI, is it?
No, I don't think it is. Right, I've seen colorized versions of this where it's teal, but basically it's like, cause this was the first one that we played, not that one, this one, I think it was. So there was a dark haired woman and a blonde haired woman who got clocked, and I mean,
not that I have the slightest sympathy for climate protests.
Well, no, neither do I, but like.
Yeah.
There's something really weird about the symbolism that's going on here.
What? Like, people with 5-bedroom houses beating the shit out of young people.
Yeah. The young people, because, whether you agree with the climate nut jobs or not, what they're asking for is that I'm worried about my future.
So their concerns need to be addressed. Their methods are complete rubbish. Their ideology is complete rubbish.
But they're also, look at her. She looks like she's like 23.
Yeah.
And then you've got some 70-year-old boomers yanking her hair like a mob of angry boomers, whacking them with walking sticks. And what's her argument? She's saying, well, I'm worried about my future and I want you to care about my future too. And the boomer's like, the fuck I will. I will never care about your future. Literally, and again, if you break down the economics of this, what's she on, 30, 40 grand a year, who knows?
Yeah.
Entry-level job out of university, millionaire boomers are like, I'm keeping my fucking triple lock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, this is mental optics, really mental optics. And again, notice it's a sea of silver hair, it's like...
Oh, yeah, I've noticed as time has gone on with these cringy Farage fests, they've increasingly got more and more careful not to film the audience.
Yeah, but what can you do? It's all greybeards, you know? Like, there's no getting around it. It's just... a sea of boomers viciously beating young women. Like, I don't mean to laugh, but it's just so weird. It's such an unexpected thing.
I know, but...
just, what are you doing?
I mean, one, it is funny.
It's funny because it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
But obviously, it's not... just to be clear, I do not support boomers beating young women, even if the young women are obnoxious, annoying, they've infiltrated your confidence and bought a ticket, and then they've caused a bit of trouble by yelling... the sky is falling, Chicken Little style, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's stupid. Security can just escort them out. You don't actually need to assault them, and this is really bad.
Yeah.
Right? This does not look good at all. I don't know what you thought you were doing, but...
yeah.
But you can tell, like with everything else, the people on the right who are doing Black Bloc now, they're not happy.
Oh, yeah. Right?
They're getting down to Portsmouth.
I mean, the underlying point is that people are not... We are so far away from seeing politics as a fair game.
A team sport.
Yeah, where you put up your best arguments, I put up my best arguments.
We have a vote.
We see where the country lies, and then we all agree to shake hands, and then we run it again. And if you, that just doesn't exist anymore. No, no, politics is becoming existential.
Yes, yes. I mean, it is for the boomer there. It's just hit her on the back of the skull, Frank.
Well, next week is possibly existential for the boomers.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Again, just the absolute scenes of this.
Yeah.
I just can't get over. And so obviously they put out a statement saying, well, this is pretty horrific, isn't it?
So who's they?
What, the climate resistance people.
Okay.
And I hate to say it, but they have quite a strong argument here. Yeah, we sent in a couple of stupid young women to go, Nigel Farage is a billionaire's tool or something. And they got beaten.
Yeah, they're picking bits of Zimmer frame out there, out their skulls.
I really don't mean to laugh, but it's so ridiculous.
Yes.
I would never have made up that the radicalised boomers would start beating young women at the Reform Conference.
It was the logical next step. After locking them in their home for 3 years, making sure they can't get a job and a home. I mean, how are you going to go after them next? You've got to start whacking them around the face, haven't you?
Yeah. Anyway... so, they would have been like, oh, no, that's way too uncharitable. Way too uncharitable. And, of course, they went on LBC being like, well, Nigel Farage and his supporters are inciting violence by celebrating assaults like mine, says one of the protesters. I mean, look at it.
It looks like one of those movie head snap moments from John Wick or something.
He was grabbing her by the neck and just like...
yeah.
I don't know, man. I think really, really bad optics. And the fact that Farage just laughed and was like, boring, it's like... yeah. I don't know, man. This is not boring.
And somebody queued up, you know, they hit the boring button.
Yeah, yeah. Just of all of the things to happen, who could have predicted your own audience would actually, I don't know, find the energy to do something like this?
Yeah.
So
yeah, lucky you did it after the nap.
But then, of course, the Reform, it's been a long weekend. Spokespeople have to go on TV and defend it. So, of course, this is what they said.
A disturbing video that came out of your conference about a woman being dragged out by her hair and being hit over the head.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Oh, boo-hoo from Robert Jemrick. Like, are you sure Reform supporters beating a woman is an oh, boo-hoo moment, Robert?
I think I figured out the sound problem. Because the speakers are on the back and it used to bounce off the wall, and now the wall is 30 feet away.
Good point.
Yeah, it's just travelling into the void.
Yeah. We will fix it.
We'll figure
afterwards.
It out.
But then he was like given a second opportunity. People were like, are you sure you want to double down on that, Robert Jemrick? And he was like, yeah, I do.
I just wanted to just get your reaction to how some of your delegates responded to one of the hecklers, who I accept irritatingly, although exercising their democratic rights, responded during Mr. Farage's speech yesterday. Just have a look at this. Heavy-handed? Literally? Disproportionate? What do you expect them to do? Well, they could have just...
you could just go, boo! the security would remove them. Like, you don't actually have to start clubbing these young women who, in their own defense, are literally saying, I'm just concerned about my future and you're a boomer.
Yeah.
Like you, what do you expect them to do? Not that.
I mean, I could totally see the temptation of beating climate protesters, but...
Sure.
But yeah.
Like, but, I mean, come on. Just look.
They're using as much force as their atrophied arm muscles can supply as well.
Just clubbing them with the cane. Just, I mean, are you sure that's the way to say it? But anyway, so Matt Goodwin went on TV and he had to answer for it as well.
Okay, Matt, I'm being told we're running out of time, but I just want to ask you one more thing that's cropped up this morning is your colleague Robert Jenrick was on various news outlets this morning doing the political round on behalf of Reform. He was asked about the protesters at the Reform conference and said he had no sympathy. And when he was asked on another news channel about them and about the girl claiming she was physically attacked, he went, boo-hoo. Do you agree with what Rob's had to say on that?
Sorry, regarding who was attacked, sir? Is this a protester at the conference?
Yes.
Look, I mean, put yourself in the mind of an average Reform UK supporter, OK? We've just had an incredibly traumatic year with Anne Widdecombe. I think the level of sympathy for left-wing extremists who are protesting and targeting Reform UK, that sympathy is almost non-existent at this point, OK? Reform UK supporters, I think, have every right to feel angry and frustrated at how they've been targeted.
But boo-hoo, do you think that's a wise thing to say?
Well, I don't know that particular comment, but I had zero sympathy for the protesters who were trying to disrupt Reform UK conference.
I'm kind of in board with that, but...
Not great.
No, I mean, not maybe not I, quite.
Actually,
like that.
Saying, look, actually, yeah. Maybe people shouldn't be forming a mob around a young woman,
yeah.
Beating her in the middle of our conference.
I mean, your point is, normal politics is just breaking down. I say, line up all the boomers on one side, all the Green Party activists on one side. I mean, there's a lot of boomers.
There's a lot of young women who've joined the Green Party.
Yeah, and just stand back and we watch what happens. We'd be there with our popcorn.
Yeah, Lee Anderson decided it was quite funny and he started joking around about it, which is just again.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I just think this.
I mean, I'm laughing at it, but I'm not culpable.
Yeah, I've got nothing to do with it. But also, yeah, exactly. It's not my party, right?
Yes.
If this happened at the Restore Party conference,
yes.
I'd be like, no, that person did something wrong and that's not the kind of.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
we'd be on the line then.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. And anyway, so this. And then at the end of it, we've got Nigel Farage. And the verbatim sting that Channel 4 did so much work.
I saw a little bit about this.
Right, so basically, I'm just going to summarise it rather than just play it. Basically, Dan Jukes and James Orr. So Dan Jukes is Nigel's chief of staff. Okay. James Orr is head of policy. Met with this chap who called himself, I think, Matthew or whatever in the video. I don't know if this is his real name. Posing as the British... born or British acclimatized son of an American billionaire who runs a business in America, and he wanted to send money to Nigel Farage on Reform, but of course because he's foreign he couldn't. Yes. So he could give it to his British son who lived in Britain, worked in Britain, voted in Britain, paid taxes.
Yes.
In Britain. So he was able to give that money to Nigel Farage, and it's very, very clear on camera that he says, I can't just give you the money, but if I give it to my son, he can give you the money, and Nigel and James Orr and Dan Jukes are like, yeah, that's totally...
So my instant reaction to that is, I don't care.
Yeah, I know.
Because I don't care about money stuff. So,
yeah, but moreover, do we think this is unique? Do we honestly think that no one else in British politics has taken any money from America or Soros or wherever without it being channeled through someone who lives in the UK?
The problem is it sounds like it's right on the line of having a whiff of foreign money, right? And it is just money, so I don't care anyway. But it sounds like they did actually find a way, at least in the story, in the bait, in the entrapment that it was, they found a way to make it legal. So I actually don't care. But I know that Farage won't be able to provide not. He will flounder all over the place because he can't just come out and say what I said, which is, yes, so what? It's legal. Somebody wants to give us money and we do it legally, go away.
Yeah, exactly.
But because he's a post-war liberal boomer, he perceives everything through the same set of lenses as the mainstream media does. And for them, money of this sort is a bad thing. And they come after him, even though if I was interviewing him, I wouldn't even bloody ask him about this. And he will fluster all over the place, just like he did with the last lot of money.
Do you know what's interesting?
Yeah.
Is that in this verbatim video, the way that they already got him to essentially concede that he had been receiving foreign gifts in kind is by commissioning polls from JL Partners.
Mm.
And these polls cost $18,000 a pop. They commissioned three of them. So what's that, 48,000?
Mm.
Where did that money come from? Who is bankrolling this verbatim thing, right? They if I can get that up. No, I can't get that up.
Mm.
Right? But they have, like, I don't know, like 400 followers, or they had like 400 followers before this began. They've probably got a lot more now. But the point is, they didn't have a large social media following. They weren't anyone in particular. Obviously, it was a journalist.
Well,
someone,
before USAID went away, I would assume it was the US government paying for it.
Someone
but it might actually have to be our own government that is doing this smurfing money into left-wing activists.
Entirely possible.
Yeah.
But the point
is Nigel Farage.
Sorry, if we can pause that. Someone spent 50 grand at least stinging Nigel Farage.
Yeah.
Where did that money come from? And they're like, yo, what happened? Well, Nigel Farage wanted to take money from America. What makes me think that this isn't money from America?
I have no idea.
It took a year for them to do.
It's probably a government. Probably ours, if not the Americans. Mind you, it shouldn't be the Americans now. If it was Biden.
Sure. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
It could be the Canadians. It could be anyone, right?
Yes.
It could be the Europeans.
Yeah.
Right? It could be literally anyone. Probably the British government, but it could be literally anyone.
Yeah.
£50,000 was spent at least doing this.
Mm.
So it's like, right, okay, so the dark money is funding a sting against Nigel Farage for taking American money. It's like, oh, yep. Right, okay. This sounds on the upper.
Oh, it's
completely establishment.
It's complete and utter bullshit, but he won't be able to answer it because
exactly.
He never can.
Exactly. This Farage calls it loose pub talk by party officials, right? And the thing is, that would be more convincing if James Orr and Dan Jukes didn't both resign from their positions.
Oh, he threw them both under the bus, did he?
Well, I mean, officially.
Well, yeah, I mean,
they resigned from
officially
their positions.
But these guys have been around for yonks, haven't they?
Well, James Orr, not so much. It was only the last year, I think it was, so, that he... So James Orr is a very distinguished gentleman. He was the head of the philosophy of religion at Cambridge.
Okay.
I'm friends with him. I've met him a bunch of times. He's a really lovely gentleman. I've had wonderful chats with him. He's been on our podcast, right? Dan Jukes has been with Nigel Farage for well over a decade now. I'm sure he was with him in UKIP, right? He's... very, very tight with Farage. I've met Dan Jukes a couple of times. It always seemed all right. Like,
but the moment, it doesn't matter whether you gave up something good and you're a high-profile individual, you come over, you give him a year, or if you've been literally his bag carrier for the last 10 years, the moment Farage needs you to be thrown under a bus, because I saw Farage in that video.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Farage met the guy who was posing as the son.
Oh, okay.
Then he met the American billionaire.
But because the other two were presumably the ones you just mentioned, the ones who got thrown under a bus, because they were also there. Of course, he's not gonna make any sort of explanation. He's not gonna say sorry or provide an explanation. No, he's gonna take two loyal, one of them incredibly loyal aides, and just immediately toss them under the bus. It's just
he's just
on a mountain of bodies at this point.
But he's also a clown about it.
Yeah.
He said his party has done nothing wrong. Well, then why do you
fire your? Fire a guy who's given you a decade of his life.
Yeah. And, why would James Orr and Dan Jukes resign and an investigation be undertaken if they've done nothing wrong?
This is the bit that irritates me the most about Farage, is he just...
won't
just
stand on it.
Backstabbing. Yeah. Backstabbing bastard, constantly.
It's cowardice, right? What this is like,
yes.
Look, if I just fire you, then this theoretically goes away. No, this is not going to go away.
You were in the video, Farage.
Yeah, and this verbatim sting was highly promoted by Channel 4, right?
Yeah.
It was Channel 4 that were like, yeah, look what these... So Channel 4 has probably funded it with probably, as you say, British government money.
Mm.
This is an establishment. It took a year to get all of this stuff together and the clips and whatnot. It took a year. So this is the establishment using dirty tricks to take down Farage. If you thought they'd done nothing wrong, you'd be like...
Just...
Yeah. I'm not firing anyone. Take legal action against us.
When have you ever seen Farage stand on principle?
Never.
The only principle he ever stands on
is himself.
Is going after the right.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's disgusting that they're out there trying to stop the foreign rapists.
That's the one thing he does, even when it's disadvantageous to himself.
But the fact that you allowed them to be fired means that you do think they did something wrong. Right? That's what that means.
Yeah.
There's no reason to take them out of their positions if you've done nothing wrong. And if you were brave about it, if you were just confident about it, and if you really thought that nothing had happened, you'd have been like, just investigate us. Just bring charges. We'll see it in court. You know, we'll win because we did nothing wrong. And to be honest with you, he's probably right.
Mm.
Right. Okay, yeah, it is illegal for an American to give money to reform. But if an American gives money to a British person and they give it to reform, that is legal. That is how the system works. That is just a loophole in the thing. I'm not saying I endorse it, but that is the nature of the law as it stands.
Yep.
And he says, you know, we didn't take any money at all, in fact, because they never ended up actually giving him any money. And the complicity is the gift in kind that were the polls, because the polls were in favour of reform at the time. This was like a year ago, right?
I remember that.
Yeah, exactly. You called it exactly right. Farage's response looked terrible.
My job wasn't to do compliance. My job wasn't to do background checks. My job was to turn up at a lunch, have a glass of wine, and shake someone's hand.
Did you not know that it was illegal for foreign firms to donate to UK political parties?
Of course I know that.
But were you just not then paying attention? You weren't asking the question?
No, because I was told he was giving it to a UK family trust. A family office that was based in the UK. But
he said in your presence,
I am not a compliance officer. I was in the middle of canvassing in the Clacton by-election. I turn up. I frankly wasn't even listening.
You weren't listening?
I just asked, is it all above board? I was just there to go, come and say hello.
So you weren't listening when you were discussing donations of thousands and thousands
I was told,
on the record today, can you categorically say that foreign money has never been funneled to reform UK in that way? That has never happened.
Never happened.
Categorically deny it, even though, as you've admitted, you weren't listening during a conversation like that.
I'm not a compliance officer. I'm a leader. I shake hands and take photographs. All right?
That's the point.
Simple
You're
as.
The leader.
Terrible. And so the problem that Farage has, and reform have generally, and have had for a while, is that they seem to be they seem to be obsessed with money. And honestly, I saw
it looks grubby.
It looks really grubby.
He looks guilty there. Yep. It all looks grubby. I mean, that's why they keep doing this, trying
looks
to paint him in. Yeah, trying to paint him into this situation with money, and he just handles it so badly because he this and all other issues he accepts the left's frame.
Yes, but also he can never say no to someone offering him money, no matter who that person is.
It doesn't matter if you're offering him 15 quid to read out "Happy Birthday, Big Chungus" on whatever that video thing.
Yeah, yeah, cameo.
It doesn't matter what it is. Yeah, he can never say no to money, and it's kind of obvious at this point.
Yeah, and who was it? Who's the autistic guy who used to support Restore but has blocked us all now?
North something?
Yeah, Pete North.
Yeah.
Pete North is... He's always said that Nigel Farage is the morals of an alley cat. And I think he's right. I think that's a great description. Especially when it comes to money, but probably also when it comes to women. When it comes to loyalty to his friends and colleagues...
Well, that's the one that bothers me. I mean, money and women, fine, but...
But it's the whole package, right?
Yeah.
There's no point at which Farage ever demonstrates a virtue. He never demonstrates a virtue. Yes. Right? The only virtue he's got is rhetorical.
I'll tell you what, we're live. I'll ask the chat. Can anybody name a Farage virtue? I'll monitor the chat.
Aside from his rhetoric, because no one can deny
he's a great rhetorician.
Yeah. But if his only virtue is being able to speak well, that really kind of says, well, he could be a really good persuasive liar then, right?
Yes.
And so, not great, right? Not great. Yeah. Anyway, so...
By the way, I've been keeping an eye on Portsmouth.
Yeah.
They're now setting up tents on the beach because the protesters are blocking them getting off the beach, so they're bringing tents onto the beach.
Amazing. Like, again, Nigel Farage, instant dismissal, instant disavowal.
Oh, absolute denunciation.
Yeah. Just unbelievable. Anyway, so basically what I'm saying is that this weekend has been a sharpening of British politics. You can see it. A hardening. Like this.
Well, we're almost at the point of abandoning a politics.
Well, yes, exactly. Things are so dug in that nobody is happy with how things are going. Nobody can compromise. And the stench of corruption and sleaze around reform is just getting worse.
Mm.
They've got no good answer for it. When you've got people resigning and things like that, it's like, okay, the wheels are coming off here.
Mm.
You know, when your own supporters are beating young women at your conference, like, again, just I dread to see the polls in the next week, right? So yeah. That reform, the reform conference, right? It'll be these pictures that are everywhere.
Oh yeah, actually, I will check out Monday morning newspapers.
Yeah,
because you're going to see that, aren't you?
Yeah, you're going to see these pictures, and then you're going to get Farage tried to take foreign money.
Yeah,
and it just adds to the $5 million he took from Christopher Harbone or whatever it was, and it's just constant.
And look, I know he's got the spotlight on him. I just don't think Rupert would end up in this situation in the first place.
No, because Rupert doesn't have the morals.
It's like what Elon Musk said, whatever it was, 4 years ago. He doesn't have what it takes.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll leave that there. There have been a bunch of super chats. Samson, can we get them up? I'll read them before we... Yeah. Apparently it's really kicking off in Portland.
Caesar 8683 has said Dan is looking slim today. He didn't pay any money, but I wanted to read that one out anyway.
Well, thank you very much, Dan says.
Oh, there we go. There's the paid ones.
Sorry, I'm just googling Portsmouth.
Yeah.
I want to hear Vera Lynn Whitecliffs of Dover again, says MQs. I don't know. Impromptu Dan and Carl on a Sunday stream is something I approve of. Yeah, well, like I said, thank you, Chris. And like I said, we had to test the setup to make sure it works for Bo's live show tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we didn't have a choice, basically. We had to do something. And luckily, everything's going to hell in a handbasket. So it's really not very difficult to create a podcast out of the just normal things that are happening in British politics at the moment.
So it looks like supporters, because Portsmouth is based, to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very little COVID compliance going on in Portsmouth.
But also, I mean, when I did my MEP tour in 2019, we had a huge crowd in Portsmouth.
Yeah, Portsmouth people are good people. And I'm looking at aspects of the live stream, and they are all rocking up. So they've basically got... we're well past the OPSEC and the black and... No, locals are just turning up. There is a large number of them forming.
Oh, another thing I wanted to mention about that is it's interesting how this is happening on Andy Burnham's watch, right? Because obviously people could have turned up to physically block the boats any time.
Yeah.
But would Keir Starmer have stood for it?
Oh, no. No.
Keir Starmer would be 24-hour courts.
Yeah.
You're going to jail.
Yes.
Every single one of you thrown in an oubliette for the rest of your lives, right? But...
It would have been you trying to stop this, jail for 3 years, you on the boat, free house.
Yeah.
And benefits.
Probably foot rubs.
Yeah.
Like, this is... But Andy Burnham is a much more soft character, right? Andy Burnham is a big pussy, really.
Like, well, his whole thing is like me.
Exactly.
Please like me.
I want to be liked. But what does this mean? This means Andy Burnham is like, I'm gonna cap the buses. I can't do his accent. I'm gonna make sure that these, you know, the groceries are affordable. It's like, okay, Andy, but our fucking towns are swarming with foreigners. Could you please do something about it? The boats keep coming. Could you please do something about it? He's like, well, that's me.
Yeah. Let's see what the David Brent of politics is going to do about it.
Exactly. I'm here to tinker around the edges. I'm here to make sure that you get a £2 bus journey, right?
Yeah, that will save it.
The weakness is the provocation, right?
Yeah.
The government is weak. The leader is weak. He's not going to do anything. We have to move.
Yeah, the entire system's falling apart. Yeah.
Exactly. The entire system is falling apart.
Yeah.
Skeg Skull says...
It makes you proud seeing this. Sorry, you can't.
Yeah, sent an email entitled, I know the landscape photos, CC to Pete as well. Love the painting stream too, by the way. Oh, thank you. Garbage Human says, you're doing it live? I like it more. It's not a normal thing for us to do live on a Sunday.
Please don't make me do this again.
Yeah. Patriot Front Europa. We're exhausted, right? So we spent all day yesterday on our feet moving things.
I am so glad that I've got a car that drives itself to get me back to Winchester tonight.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
We're shattered. That's why we probably sound so mealy-mouthed as well. Hi from Portugal. Thank you for the video about Portugal. Oh, our pleasure. I don't doubt that Stelios is going to be covering the AFD tomorrow as well.
Oh, yes. We haven't mentioned the AFD, have we?
We haven't. At the last count I saw, it was something like... 30, they won. Well, just outright. Yeah, grab us a link. But last count I saw, they were at 51%.
I saw an exit poll, and that was really good.
Yeah, there was something out of about 2,600. They were on like 850.
Yeah.
And they were so like 850 counted. But they were like...
Yeah,
there
don't,
we go.
Don't go 2 hours ago. Is that unless...
Well, I mean, a lot of people are saying they've won. So, but again, it's all breaking.
Yeah, I mean, it is Saxony. It's not like the whole of Germany.
No, but
it's one of the 16 states.
Yeah. It's significant. Very significant. Weston contributes £5 for the war chest. Thank you very much. The glow up that we're getting in the next couple of months.
Yeah.
You honestly, when you see on the new studios, I think you'd be very pleased, but also wasn't cheap. Reverend North says, greeting from Sweden. We have a nail biter of an election going on right now as well. They'll basically decide our future while things heat up in the UK and Germany, seeing the AfD rise. Lots happening. Yeah, I know. Like, good luck to everyone, basically.
Yeah, who's on tomorrow? Because there's a bunch of interesting stories to talk about, isn't it? Oh, it's you, Firas, and Luca.
Okay, well, I'm sure Firas or Luca will cover the AfD thing.
Firas is quite good at this foreign stuff.
Yeah, exactly. He very much is. Labour is going to get revenge for these young women. They will turn off pensioners' heating to plug the funding black hole. I mean, honestly, I'm surprised they haven't, because, like, the pensioners just do not vote for Labour. Right? They vote for the Conservatives or Reform. I'm surprised that they're not like, yeah, okay, screw yourselves.
Yep.
You know, we're with the climate activists. Genuinely surprised.
Yep.
I'm 55. My grandpa was born in 1898.
Wow.
Went over for the Great War and spent his life on crutches until 1988. Don't let his sacrifice be for nothing. Save your country. The same part of the US backs you. Thank you, sir. Much appreciated. And we are doing our best. And again, this is why we're just not going to disavow these guys to the right. I don't know who Danny Tomo is, really. I know of him. But I don't know anything about him. Yeah. And the most I've ever done is shake his hand and say, hi, nice to meet you, Unite the Kingdom.
What I know about him is he's stopping immigrants coming off boats.
Exactly.
So based on that, I like him.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's literally the sum total of my knowledge of what Danny Tomo is. And okay, I'm not disavowing that. Why would I disavow that?
Mm.
Why would I call them disgusting? Like, disgraceful? Like, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Your allies are doing something, Nigel. Shut up.
You just don't talk about them if you don't want to say anything nice.
Yeah. Did you purchase the building you spoke about in a previous pondering stream? No, we didn't purchase a building, but we have upgraded. After this stream, everyone should go over to TSOP. Yeah, well, go ahead. And my favourite Farage cameo moment is where he's shown the clip during an interview of him saying, "Ooh, are up the RA," and then just cuts to him looking incredibly sheepish as the reporter rips into him. I think mine's the big chungus ones, to be honest, because they're so ridiculous. And it's like, Nigel, was your dignity worth just £60?
I honestly don't know what his dignity is worth, but I'm not going to put a large
£60.
Number. Well, yeah.
It's literally what he sells it for.
Yes.
First far-right party in power since World War II. Wait, the German Socialist Labour Party was far-right, authoritarian, sure, but right-wing? Well, yeah. I mean, there are many ways of slicing it. But what I find really amusing is, yes, the lesbian race mixer.
Yes, with the Sri Lankan wife.
Yes, yeah. Is now in charge of Saxony.
Yes.
It's the far-right takeover. It's like, I'm not sure that it's that far-right.
I mean, fair point. If you read the Nazi manifesto, I mean, half of it is nationalism and half of it is... avowedly socialist. It's about
They were definitely socialists. Yeah. No question of it. It's the first normal party since World War II. Exactly. I loved the AfD slogan, and I think it's because I lived in Germany for 8 years, right? And Germany wasn't terrible back in the 90s, but it wasn't like being in England. And Germany but normal is a great slogan. Like, Germany but normal, just be normal. Just be normal. And that what a wonderful slogan. It's the first normal party, basically. They're not, I've met loads of the guys in the AfD. I went over to the first premium piece of content we put up on this website was me speaking in the German parliament, because the AfD invited me there to explain to them, look, I'm really sorry about all this white privilege stuff. This actually is a very Anglo-coded.
You speak German?
No.
Oh.
Because I lived on an English colony.
Right.
That's why. And all the Germans spoke English, obviously.
Yes.
So I didn't need to, right?
Yes.
And this is my point about the colonies in Britain.
Yes.
This is why I keep saying, look, actually what we're creating here is colonies, because they don't speak our language.
To be fair, I've travelled all over the world, and my approach is always just to speak English very loudly, and it
you just
pretty much always works.
You just know they'll figure it out. Yeah. Bebo says, for the Emperor, Carl equals Chud. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for noticing. But right, okay, right. We're gonna end the stream because we're very tired.
Yes.
And it's getting late and we all have to drive home and we need to
We think it's working.
And everything seems to be working.
Right.
So tensions are hotting up. Thank you so much for joining us, folks. And we'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning for Breakfast with Bo. Go and sign up to the website. We'll see you then.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.